My prayer is that God could be here and that with eyes of faith we could see him today. As you look around the room, so I have a question for you. As you look around the room, what do you see? And further, as you look around the figurative room of your life, what do you see? You know, as Christians, there is only one reality in answer to that question. There is only one reality. It is God's reality. And reality is the way that God sees it. But because we're living in a fallen world, often our eyes come off that one true reality and we see other twisted realities and we're sidetracked by those. There is the reality that results from focusing on our own carnal ambitions and dreams. Then there is the reality that focuses on letting God's kingdom come to our lives and reigning in our midst. There is the reality on one hand that focuses on our fears and worries and stresses. And then there is the reality that says God is in control and he is all powerful. There is the reality that focuses on this world, the headlines in the news, the bad things. And then there is the reality of what God is doing in his kingdom throughout the world that isn't being shouted from the housetops in the media, but is happening nonetheless. So what reality are we looking at this morning? Several times in Scripture, God had to open people's eyes so that they could see reality. I'm thinking of Balaam, who was riding on his faithful donkey, and the donkey, for once, didn't comply. And then, as you know the story, God had to open Balaam's eyes so he could see reality. And there's the story of Elisha and his servant in 2 Kings chapter 6, where Elisha's servant was intimidated, and we would say legitimately so, because it looked as though this other nation they were fighting had more than they had. In fact, the servant says, "There are more with them than with us." And then Elisha prays, and he says, "God, please open the servant's eyes so that he can see that your chariots are also here in abundance." And God did, and everyone had confidence, and they went in and were successful. Paul prays in Ephesians that our eyes, well, the Ephesians' eyes, of course, but it would apply to us as well, that our eyes could be open, and that our eyes of understanding could be open so that we may know the hope of God's calling and the revelation in the knowledge of him, so that we may know the hope of God's calling and the revelation in the knowledge of him. That is the reality that we want to see this morning as believers. There's a story of the election that took place in the Ukraine in 2004, in which two victors were running. I don't know how there are so many victors in the Ukraine. Maybe just in the same way there are so many Johns and Davids in the United States. But the two victors were running, and it's kind of ironic that they were named Victor. I just think of that right now. And the first victor, if I can get his name right, is Yanukovych. And Viktor Yanukovych was the imposter. He had bought the media. And so he was going to win regardless, really, because the media is going to report that he won, regardless how many votes he has. And so election day comes, and sure enough, the media is announcing that Viktor Yanukovych won. The truth is, Viktor Yushchenko had won. He had gotten more votes. But he hadn't bought out the media. So one of the main news channels in the Ukraine on the night of the election was reporting that Viktor Yanukovych, the imposter, had won. But the thing that I wanted to point out in this story for our purposes about seeing reality as it is that in the lower right-hand corner of the video or of the television set, you could have seen a deaf lady reporting to deaf people. She was signing for the deaf people. And this lady was a journalist of integrity, deaf but a journalist of integrity. And she was reporting that no, this imposter, Viktor Yanukovych, had not won. She signed to the deaf people of the Ukraine. He's lying. Viktor Yushchenko is the real president. And would you know it, Those few deaf people who represented maybe less than 1% of the total Ukrainian population started a revolution. And the next day, mostly because of the deaf people, thousands of people were on the streets of the Ukraine. This was 12 years ago. This wasn't this long ago. Some of you probably remember. And they started what is known as the Orange Revolution. And in the Orange Revolution, two things happened. They got Yushchenko, the right man, instated as president, and the journalism standards in the Ukraine went up. Partly because of this Natalia Dmitruk, who was the deaf journalist. But as Christians, what we're hearing is the crooked journalist. He's reporting. So we have to focus on that lower right-hand corner of the screen for that reporter who's signing the true reality. That, I think, is the picture of where we're at. How do we tune into the real reality? How do we do this? We focus on that lesser-known picture. But you know, James 4:8 also has good advice. Draw nigh to God. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That's how we do it. And we draw an eye in the true way, not as it says in Isaiah 29, inasmuch as the people draw near to me with their mouths, but have removed their hearts far from me. So it takes a true drawing nigh. And speaking of drawing nigh to God this morning is what we're wanting to do. There's another old story, and I'm sure this is an apocryphal story. It probably didn't happen, but there many years ago when cars still had bench seats in the front, there was an old man and an old woman driving through town, and they came to a stoplight, and the man was driving, and he was on this side, and the woman was on the other side, close to the door. There was a space between them, because they'd been married 50 years, and so some of the romantic feelings had worn away. And they came to a younger couple who had just gotten married, and they, on the other hand, were sitting very close to each other. And they were waiting at the stoplight, so the older woman says to her elderly husband, why aren't we sitting that close together? We used to. And the husband, who had always driven the car ever since they'd married, said, you know, it's interesting that you ask. I never moved. I have always driven. So if anyone moved, who was it? So the woman said, point taken, and I think maybe moved closer to her husband. But the point is, and you hear this sometimes, if God seems far away, who moved? And that can feel really cliche and kind of almost hurtful to our ears when we're searching for God, because you are looking for him everywhere, and someone comes out with this trite piece of advice: if God seems far away, guess who moved? And I'm not saying that, you know, that maybe sometimes we are searching and he still seems far away, but the place to start would always be to tune our hearts to him, as it says in Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, the hymn, tune our hearts to sing thy praise. And then sometimes God may still choose to limit the revelation of him to us, of himself to us. But in time, I believe he will reveal himself. But our part is to draw near. As a final sort of picture of this, finding God and experiencing his reality, it was put to me one time this way, that God is here. He's in the very atoms. He's in the air. He's inhabiting the air. Since Pentecost, he's inhabiting the very air. But it's as though a curtain were between us and God. He can hear us. He can see us. He's directing us, those of us who are in him, if we are in him. But we will never in this life see him completely. We can only tune our hearts. We can only discipline ourselves and practice entering his presence more and more. But, you know, the final full revelation of him and perceiving the reality that he is here will come when heaven and earth come together in that last great day. And then there will only be one reality, and we will all be in him forever. Praise God. But until that day, until that curtain is drawn apart, let's practice listening to him on the other side of the curtain. I don't know if that's a helpful picture. Let's sing yet the song, Open Our Eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Could we just all join together and sing that chorus, and then I'll lead in prayer. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and
say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our ears.
Let's pray. Dear God, you are here, and we're convinced of that. You have directed us in the past. We have many reasons to believe you're here, and yet the devil will tempt us with many other versions of reality, our fears, our worries, our own dreams. Help us to fix our eyes on you, and to, like Peter, before he sank, to stay focused on you, in spite of the waves. We worship you and invite you here to our worship service and into all aspects of our lives. Through Christ we pray, amen.